GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. On the PD Cudor telephone line on North Haven Island this morning, Bill Harwood of the Maine Gun Safety Coalition. Welcome back to the George Hill Rick Tyler Show.
Thank you for having me.
No man is an island, but you're on an island this morning.
Indeed.
Beautiful out there?
It is just gorgeous. Lovely morning.
No fog, huh?
No, we had a little yesterday, but right now, clear as can be.
You coming ashore for the Maine Light the Way vigil at the Blaine House tomorrow night?
I hope to get there, yes, indeed.
Well, we're hearing an awful lot about it, of course, and it does elicit a lot of comments, to say the least. Maine Light the Way starts at 7 o'clock. What exactly will happen, and what's the purpose?
The purpose here is to have people who care about this issue and are concerned about the level of gun violence in our community to come forward and call on our elected officials, both in Augusta and Washington, to do something about this problem. I think there is an overwhelming demand from people to enact some common sense gun laws that will reduce the level of gun violence, and we hope that that message comes through loud and clear Saturday evening to those people who represent the good people of Maine in both Augusta and Washington.
Have we an idea of what common sense measures could have been taken that would have prevented the atrocities in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio?
Well, you know, we get into this every time there's one of these high-profile shootings. Exactly, if we go back and recreate history, which laws would have definitely stopped which shooters? And this is a standard that we see thrown at us all the time. How can you be sure that this particular law would have stopped this particular shooter? I think we need to step back and take a more global look at it. We know from other countries, Canada, Europe, Australia, Japan, that common sense gun laws reduce the level of violence. They save lives. We know background checks save lives. We know red flag laws save lives. We know that reducing the size of magazine capacity so that the number of bullets fired before reloading, those will all save lives. We don't know which lives, and we don't know had they been in effect last year or 10 years ago, how many lives, but we know they will save lives.
It is not an easy subject to get people together on, and we recognize that. If you do talk radio, you certainly know that. But in the aftermath of the two incidents, the president has sent a signal yesterday that he's willing to talk about it. Mitch McConnell said yesterday when they get back in session, he's going to put it on the agenda. So we'll see where we go from there. But I think everybody generally says we do a lot of talking after these incidents. We do a lot of soul searching, but nothing ever happens.
Yeah, I think that is a sad commentary on where we are. We know we're a very polarized society, and we tend to stick to our own camps and speak past each other. I hope this is a time that with these twin shootings in El Paso and Dayton that people in the middle will stand up. We need people who are good elected officials to stand up, those who are moderates, those who are in the middle, and get beyond the rhetoric of the extremists. We call on Senator Collins and Senator King to stand up strongly and say now is the time. And if enough of them stand up and say enough is enough, we're going to do something meaningful about this problem, we believe it will get done. We're hopeful that some comments coming out of McConnell and the White House will signal that, but we need all of our elected officials to stand up and strongly urge that this is the time to take action.
Inevitably, when there is a demonstration, a rally, a vigil of some sort, someone will hold a sign that says, repeal the Second Amendment. Is it time to take a look at stripping the Second Amendment from the Constitution of the United States, Bill?
I don't think we need to go there. There are people who talk about that, but the courts have made it clear that within the Second Amendment, there is plenty of room for common sense gun legislation. The Supreme Court, when they reclarified the Second Amendment 10 years ago, went out of their way to signal to the elected officials in Washington and the state capitals that there is plenty of room and plenty of opportunity for them to take appropriate steps. I don't think any respected law professor would say that background checks, red flag laws, prohibiting large capacity magazines violate the Second Amendment. So we don't need to call into question what our founding fathers meant with the Second Amendment. We need to have some courage in our political leaders to do the right thing and not hide behind the Second Amendment as an excuse for not taking action.
Well, yeah, and that is true. When the Supreme Court made the Heller decision, I've heard it explained at times that from constitutional lawyers who've said the Supreme Court basically said in Heller that the Second Amendment is fundamental, but not absolute. And so they did offer, as with other constitutional amendments, they did allow some areas of movement. You agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's well said. The way I sometimes say it is, what the court said is that every law-abiding citizen, not every citizen, but every law-abiding citizen has a right to have a gun, not any gun of their choice, but a gun in their home, not outside their home, not at work, not at school, not at the courthouse, but at home to protect themselves and their family. And so as long as we are talking about law-abiding citizens have a right to a gun in their home for self-protection, we have satisfied the Second Amendment. There is a lot of room for making sure that those people who have demonstrated violent behavior, have a propensity for violence, to stop them from getting a gun in the first place via a background check, or if they have a gun, have that gun removed if they are a danger to themselves and others via a red flag law.
And we so often hear after that that then only the law-abiding citizens of whom you speak, Bill, and rightfully so, only they will abide by these rules because they don't want to give up their Second Amendment rights and they want to be law-abiding citizens. That's not stopping the criminals, though. How do we separate the wheat from the chaff?
Well, this is one of those arguments we hear all the time, and I think it's one of those arguments that applies to every law that we pass. Of course there are going to be people out there who break the laws. When we set the speed limit on the main turnpike, we didn't say because a small percentage of people will exceed the speed limit and be criminal behavior and engage in criminal behavior, we don't need to set a speed limit on the main turnpike. That's nonsense. We set laws all the time because they are a standard of behavior that we expect all citizens to comply with. And most citizens do comply and do pay attention to the laws and do their best effort to abide by those laws. And of course, there are a few who don't. And that's why we have law enforcement and prosecutors and judges to take care of that. But it's no excuse for not doing something about it.
It is, of course, a minefield that we always talk about. There are certain subjects that elicit tremendous response, abortion being one, guns being another one. It was fascinating.
Motorcycle helmets.
Motorcycle
helmets. That was last segment,
that
Bill.
Last
you escaped that one. You want to stay away from that one, buddy. Trust us.
You got away from motorcycle helmets. Yeah. But it was interesting yesterday when the President Trump, I guess he signaled, and this is difficult with politicians, any politician, some openness to extensive background checks for gun buys. Instantly, we saw a retort from the NRA president warning, or at least calling the White House, talking to the president, warning against enhanced background checks for gun owners. There you go. There's the battle. It starts immediately when you try to do anything.
Well, and this is where I call on moderate, middle-of-the-road of legislators, both in Augusta and Washington, to stand up and not allow the extremists on either end of this spectrum to control the debate, to essentially hold our political system, our legislative system, hostage to it. There are too many good people, and Senator Susan Collins and Angus King are certainly at the top of that list, who need to stand up and say, Mr. President, now is the time to act. We are ready to act. Let's sit down and craft some common sense legislation that we can all recognize will save innocent lives.
Do we also take a moment and acknowledge the good people, the law-abiding citizen who has the right to carry? We speak of the first responder that was in, I want to say it was Springfield, Missouri. Yeah, and it was the man had the firearm and he was ready to enter another Walmart, and the first responder drew his firearm and got the man to put down his weapon and defuse the situation. There are cases, Bill, where someone who is a fully trained law-abiding citizen uses their Second Amendment rights to avert another atrocity.
Yeah, we hear this from time to time. I think statistics would suggest that it's much more common that the presence of a gun will lead to more violence. Look, the law enforcement officials who go through extensive training sometimes get it wrong. Pulling out a gun in a highly dramatic situation under stress with the adrenaline racing through your body, to be able to figure out very quickly who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, is not something for amateurs to be doing. We call on our police officers to do that, and they do it very well, but even they get it wrong from time to time. To suggest that we don't need to enact common sense gun laws as because we have law-abiding citizens walking around armed and they will protect us is just naive, and the statistics don't prove it out. I'm sure there are cases once in a while where someone with a gun may have reduced the level of violence, but it's much more common. The presence of a gun in a home makes the inhabitants of that home 7 times more likely to die from gun violence than if that gun weren't in that home. That's the statistics. That's what we're dealing with on average.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.